This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange.
This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
An unidentified object seen over the sky above the Rosedale area.
The shot today video that's got all of Texas talking, probably the whole country, from iReporter, who shot this on a cell phone near Stephenville, Texas. The UFO, according to witnesses, and the witnesses include local police and other public figures.
When several dozen residents looked up and saw a UFO more than once.
Three very mysterious shiny lights over Breckenridge have police and residents puzzled.
Tonight we have never before seen videotape of UFOs over Colorado.
If you noticed strange lights in the sky over the weekend, you aren't alone. KCTV5's Alan Shope went to Lee's Summit to get to the bottom of more than a dozen UFO sightings.
Never before seen footage of UFO sightings this year being shown at a conference in Pontefract.
Local police never definitively said who's to blame. Locals say it has to be something out of this world.
I was taking a random picture, zoomed it in, and there it was. There was a UFO.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
Another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. We talk UFOs, Sasquatch, ghosts, conspiracy theories, things that go bump in the night, and things that smack you in the face in the afternoon. Cherie DeSeuss and Johnny Manson here, and we talk strange things.
I had something really weird happen to me. Well, it's actually my dog.
Happened to your dog?
Yeah, Riley. He's my support animal.
Emotional support?
My emotional support animal.
Right.
Because I'm a wussy.
Right, I can tell.
This little angel dog, he's like 11 years old, and nothing bothers him. He's a like a terrier mix.
Okay.
Okay? So, my son hangs out and has a... I have this really big house. And so the top floor is his suite.
Mm-hmm.
There's like five rooms up there.
Wow.
And then downstairs is more my area, and there's the kitchen. So he was walking by my bedroom door, and the dog was coming into my room because he sleeps on my bed at night, and the dog totally freaked out. Totally freaked out. He looked in the corner of my room and he just started growling and spastic, ran out of the room. This is not my dog. My dog chases things. He doesn't back off. You know, Scott and I looked at each other, and it's not the first time that something has happened in that corner, but never had the reaction. The dog never had the reaction quite like this. I've seen him cock his head like he was listening to somebody in the corner. I've seen him visually see something and just sort of lay down and just stare at it.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, whatever was in the corner freaked him out. He would not sleep with me. He would not go into my bedroom the whole night. I am not kidding. This is not my dog. This is a terrified terrier.
Wow.
I had to sage my room. I explained to the entity that you need to leave. You're freaking my dog out.
Now, when you say sage your room, what does all that entail? What does that mean?
I've told you before, I'm a witch. Saging a room to me is sort of like spraying some kind of perfumey spray.
Mm-hmm.
It cleanses the room. It breaks up any kind of energy that wants to form, whether it's a ghost or cryptid or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people believe in demons, and that would also either really tick it off and things would get a lot worse, or it would break it up and cleanse the room. So I cleansed the room that night with sage, and I didn't feel anything, but I really didn't feel that much, which is weird for me because I can feel entities and things that are in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a ghost that lives there. It was a woman who used to live there not long ago, and her son had come by after I'd lived at my house for about a year and a half and said, yeah, my mom died here. And
oh, wow.
That explained to me who it was that I was feeling and seeing. It's mm-hmm. his mom. And she's harmless. She just walks around, and it's her house, so she's there. And
you don't mind sharing it then, right?
No, of course not. Any entity that doesn't produce any kind of fear or suck you dry of your energy mm-hmm. is okay with me. This, whatever it was, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just negative energy. Let's mm-hmm. put it that way.
Right.
Very negative. So I cleaned the crap out of that room. And my dog came in the morning, looked in the corner, looked around the room, jumped on the bed, and went to sleep. Whatever it was transient. It was just passing through.
Passing through. Well, they say like dogs and cats can see spirits and stuff like that.
Yeah, they can. They have a different visual than we do. They can see things that we can't. They also feel things very well. It makes them good hunters. And they know the difference between a negative and a positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my dog on a leash. We were walking around town, and, you know, he wags his tail at everybody, and once in a while somebody will reach down and give him a pet. So he's very great with people. I mean, he was trained that way as a service animal. But every once in a while, and it's usually... No, I can't say that. It's either a man or a woman, but it's like... people that are like maybe homeless or transients that are coming through town.
Mm-hmm.
He not everybody, but once in a while he just goes off on them. Like,
yeah?
Like they're the evil, most terrible, awful human being on the planet, and alerts me to back off.
Wow.
It's so strange. I basically let him tell me who's safe and who isn't.
Right.
He's smarter about that than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm somewhat intuitive, but, my dog, and I'm sure other people's dogs, have had similar things happen to them. And you got to pay attention. I mean, you hear about dogs saving people, pulling them out of fires, pulling them mm-hmm. out of the pool. Animals are dogs. Cat will just lick its paws and watch you drown. So I was wondering, do you dream? Do you remember your dreams?
Some of them. Every morning I try to, and I don't know where, I learned this somewhere. If you count backwards from 10, that can help you remember dreams.
Uh-huh.
So every morning when I get up, I count backwards from 10 while I'm brushing my teeth to try to remember all that I can remember about dreams. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I can't remember, but most of the time...
Yeah, that's a good method. That's a good method. But and do you journal?
No.
No?
No, I'm always on the go.
You know, while you're counting backwards, you could have a recorder on and journal that way.
Yeah, you're right. Isn't that how Keith Richards came up with the guitar lick for Satisfaction? He had a little recorder.
That's right.
Woke up from sleep, hummed it or whatever, and then went back to sleep, totally forgot about it. Can you imagine that guitar riff would be non-existent had he not done that?
Yes.
Anyway, go on.
And that's a good segue,
mm-hmm.
because today we're going to talk about lucid dreams.
What is a lucid dream?
Well, it's a dream where you realize that you're dreaming in the dream, and you have the potential to change the dream. For instance, if you were sitting at a dining room table during your dream, and you were carving at a big rat for a big turkey dinner,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could change it into a turkey instead, and take it from a monster dream into let's start changing some stuff.
A butterflies and unicorns dream?
You could. And I'm a lucid dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time. I don't have that kind of experience yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I lucid dream. And I'm not alone. And I can pull people into my dream.
How do you do that?
Well, you think about the person that you want to bring into your dream, mm-hmm. and they appear. And however it is you feel about that person is kind of how the dream is going to go. And I wonder if there are other people out there that have those experiences. I'd love for you to send me what your dream experiences are.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Just log on to strangeharbor.net and find the contact form.
There are famous people who are lucid dreamers, like, for instance, James Cameron. He was the director of Avatar, mm-hmm. and Terminator, True Lies, and Titanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has said that lucid dreams was the inspiration for one of his most famous movie scenes. He said, I've kind of realized that what I was trying to do was create dream imagery. Create a lucid dream state while you were watching the film. He's talking about Avatar. He says, I think most people dream of flying at some point. And when we're kids, we dream of flying, and I certainly did, and still have a lot of flying dreams. And I thought that if I can connect to an audience, to a kind of collective unconscious, in almost the Jungian sense? Jungian?
Gungian?
With a J?
Oh.
I know it's a religious practice or one of
I was
those
thinking
spiritual...
the Gungian. Is it Gungians from Star Wars?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, no, that's
sorry.
Somebody else. So the Jungian sense, then it bypasses all the politics and all the bull. And all the culturally specific stuff and all the language specific stuff around the world, and connects us all to that kind of childhood dreamlike state when the world was magical and infinite and scary and cool and you could soar. So that was the concept behind these scenes. And for me personally, this was the part of the movie that I liked the best, that I can watch over and over again.
Hmm.
And that's James Cameron about his Avatar. You know, he's coming out with two more, I think.
Right.
Okay, so Nikola Tesla. You know, he's a genius inventor, and anything that had anything to do with the electromagnetic field of the Earth or electricity, he was a revolutionary.
Right, they thought he was a crackpot back then. Edison went on an anti-Tesla campaign to...
I tried to ruin the man.
Right.
You know?
Pretty much worked, because he died penniless, so,
yeah,
poor guy.
Yeah,
and all he wanted to do was provide free energy to the world.
Yeah, exactly.
How dare you want to do that?
I know. His revolutionary developments in the field of electromagnetism formed the basis of modern-day commercial electricity using alternating current. He also came up with other stuff, which remain unresolved to this day, nearly 70 years after his death. So he had a lot to share. He had some extraordinary mental characteristics. He had an acute sense of hearing, visualization skills so vivid as to mimic reality, and bizarre eccentricities of habit and behavior.
You know, it's funny how Nikola Tesla and Einstein spoke in detail about intuition and what it did for them and their works. And yet we hear almost nothing about intuition or even Nikola Tesla in school or anywhere else in our society. And we can all thank Tesla for literally 80% of all of our modern technology. It all results back to his inventions and his lifelong works and achievements. Yet there's almost a suppression of anything about Tesla within our school systems and our society as a whole. Tesla himself stated that intuition is what led to all of his achievements, that he would literally imagine things in his mind, all of his inventions, before he would ever do any practical work in a laboratory. And it's incredible to think that of all these amazing inventions that he came up with, he was able to do it in just his head. How do you explain that?
That's our friend Bright Insights from YouTube.
His visualizations enabled him to conduct realistic dream experiments while he was wide awake in the lab. He multitasked. As a result, it was tempting in his virtual laboratory of his dream laboratory. He functioned one level above the lucid dream state. He had the ability, while being both physically and mentally awake, to run complex visualizations internally with all the realism and automacy of a lucid dream world. He not only knew that he was in a dream world, but he was creating these abilities to flesh out electromagnetism so that we could get free energy. He was able to do that, like what connectors to use, what, you know, how far it would reach and how deep he had to go in the earth. I mean, just amazing genius. Lucid dreaming really made a difference in our world. Okay, so a painter, a wacky, eccentric painter, Salvador Dali. He's a surrealistic painter, knew that lucid dreams were real long before they were scientifically verified in the lab. And he had these all the time. He used to dream incubation techniques to pre-program his dreams. Before he went to bed and he was laying down, he would say, okay, I need to dream about this. He would prepare himself. And then when he would start dreaming, that current speaking to himself, he was able to actually do this and produce many dream-inspired works. He pursued some forms of his automatism as a way of inspiring new works straight from the unconscious. So he would take this weirdness in your dreams and transport it onto his work. It was amazing. Right. He eventually turned to a method he called critical paranoia. He actually changed his personality, a state in which he could apparently cultivate delusion while maintaining sanity. His eccentric persona, which is what helped make him so famous, was even considered part of his art practice.
Wow.
He had that crazy mustache.
Mm-hmm.
That would, like, really narrow, and it went straight up almost into his eyes. And he would make things out of it. Like, he made the infinity sign, like an eight mm-hmm. sideways on his face.
Wow.
Yeah, he was eccentric. He is a piece of work. Yeah, check his work out. Salvador Dali. Then there was Chris Nolan. He was the director of Memento, The Dark Knight, mm-hmm. and Inception. You remember Inception's all about dreams? The main character, Dom Cobb, is played by Leonardo DiCaprio, who also had lucid dreams before starring in the movie. And the role of Cobb in the tangled dream within a dream plot is to implant an idea in the unconscious mind of his victim. So yeah, the director and the celebrity Leonardo DiCaprio had lucid dreams, which made that movie incredible. This probably won't surprise you. Stephen King.
Yeah.
You know where he gets this really weird, scary, scare you out of your skin stuff? There are a few clues that he has at least dabbled in the phenomenon of lucid dreams. Stephen King writes about lucid dreaming in his 1995 novel Insomnia, an extraordinary tale about an insomniac who begins to see brilliant auras and then more disturbing hallucinations as his condition deteriorates. Another clue that he has lucid dreams is how he finds inspiration for his novels. In an interview with this UK reporter, he said, "Like the ideas for some of my other novels that came to me in a dream. In fact, it happened when I was on Concorde flying over here. I fell asleep on the plane and dreamt about a woman who held a writer prisoner. Of course, the plot changed quite a bit in the telling, but I wrote the first 40 or 50 pages right on the landing here in the UK, between the ground floor and the first floor of the hotel."
Wow.
I mean, come on, that's a master. Oh my gosh. And then he was in another interview with Naomi Apple, and he said, "I've always used dreams the way you'd use mirrors to look at something you couldn't see head on, the way that you use a mirror to look at your hair in the back. To me, that's what dreams are supposed to do. I think that dreams are a way that people's minds illustrate the nature of their problems, or maybe even illustrate the answers to their problems in symbolic language." I love that because, you know, he has insight
mm-hmm.
Into his dreams and the psychology of it, and you know, how it makes you feel. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that say, I don't remember, I don't dream. I don't remember. And physically, you have to dream. If you don't dream and you don't get into that state, you will go nuts. It's a necessary part of sleep to recharge your body.
Do you believe that the deceased actually visit us in our dreams?
Yes, I do.
Your dad probably has visited you.
Yes, and my mother.
Yeah?
Yeah, my mom too. But it's different. My dad is stronger, and my mom is more of a wisp. I get
How dare you say that, you sexist?
Well, she moved on.
Yeah.
He clung.
Yeah, we're clingers, aren't we? We can never let go.
Well, the fact that his remains are still in my house and not in the ocean is probably part of it.
Yeah, I got my dad also.
Yeah. We've got three now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Scotty's father, mm-hmm. who just passed. We have his ashes. We haven't spread them yet. And I have, my father's and his, my son's grandmother's.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know how we got all those, but...
But you got them.
Well, we got them, and but you know, two of them have moved on, and one is too early to tell. If his dad is, it's too early, and we're going to have to wait until October when the veil gets very thin between, you know, the two worlds, between the dead and the living. I'll be able to talk to him then.
I don't understand what that means.
Okay. What it means is that there are periods that ghosts are easier to speak to, that their energies come through easier.
Mm-hmm.
And in the pagan way, I'm a pagan, you have a thinner veil that allows you to speak to the dead much easier. In actually, the best day is All Saints Day, or Samhain. We call it Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
It's Halloween.
Hmm.
So on the 31st and the 1st and days in that area, I have a dumb supper. And that means that I'm mute during the supper, and I allow the dead, I set tables for the dead, and they speak to me. Family members, whomever. And it's a pagan way.
Mm-hmm, okay.
It's a way to be close to your family, a way to let them know that you're fine, they tell you they're fine. Sometimes they leave me presents. I found a flower in the chair.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was nice. And, you know, just a way to... Pagans are far more easy and comfortable with the dead than most.
Okay.
We spend some time during the August and... October, from August to December, you know, having these rituals.
Well, a Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, more about lucid dreams, coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. She is Cherie DeSeuss, Vietnam veteran in the surgery department. I'm Johnny Manson, just a guy. What were we talking about?
Dreaming. There are a lot of people here that, you know, the Wachowskis that made The Matrix? It's a, I think it's a husband and wife team, and Andy and Lana. And they're lucid dreamers who drew on the notion to create a virtual reality world, which we are all mentally enslaved, not recognizing that we're merely dreaming. So that's how The Matrix came to be. They're lucid dreams.
Wow.
Yeah. According to the official Matrix website, they drew on a whole host of philosophies to devise the plot, including Descartes, Mahayana Buddhism, and the proverbial brain in the vat problem. The conundrum of The Matrix is, how do I know that my reality is not an illusion?
Right.
This is the key to unlocking a dream and becoming consciously lucid.
Oh, it's that easy.
Yeah. I decided I wanted to have lucid dreaming. This was a conscious decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I practiced a mental way to go to sleep with that on my mind. So if I want to solve a problem, I think of the problem before I go to bed. I go to sleep, and the problem gets solved in my sleep. When I wake up, I'm able to remember how it was solved. Let my brain work for me while I was sleeping. Hmm. It's a practical way to figure out relationships. It's a practical way to figure out business problems, money problems. It has saved my bacon many times. So the last one, well, I have two more. Albert Einstein. Not a real big surprise here. Conscious dreaming wasn't officially categorized or popular until after his death. So if he was conscious of it or he had it, there wasn't a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
We can only speculate, but he mused on the concept on his internal dream world and even used visualization techniques to arrive at some of his theories, including that of relativity. One of his most famous quotes deals with the condition of the consciousness, and I quote, "Reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one." So he was aware that in dreams he had a different reality. And it's typical of the conclusion that every lucid dreamer makes after his first legitimate lucid dream. How can we trust our real-world perception when our dreams so effortlessly mimic reality? Have you ever had a dream that was so real that when you woke up, you thought, now you're dreaming? Or that you left somewhere that was so real that you don't understand what the world was when you woke up? When I dream, and I have one of those super, super vivid dreams,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's a portent of things to come.
Hmm.
I've actually dreamed of the future, and it has come true. And I don't necessarily believe that's magic. I don't necessarily believe that's supernatural. Our brain is the most perfect computer there is.
Right.
And we have the capacity, without any help, to come to conclusions based on our experiences and our training and our education of what's to come in the future. Case in point, who was the writer that thought of a helicopter 2 centuries before it came true?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, what is the name? Starts with an H, I think. Oh, who was he? Anyway, someone's going to know. He wrote books like Time Traveler. Time mm-hmm. Travel, where the Morlocks lived underground. He dreamed of things that were to be. There have been very famous people who have dreamed of things that didn't appear for centuries after their death. like helicopters and planes and bombs, even bombs that blew up. Mm-hmm. So apparently whatever we do echoes through time. And Einstein was really big about, you know, time is relative.
Right.
You know, you can see things in the past as well as in the future. John Lennon was a lucid dreamer.
Hmm.
His song lyrics were inspired by conscious dreaming. In Strawberry Fields, like Strawberry Fields Forever.
Yeah.
Please excuse my bad singing. The line, I know when it's a dream. And again in number 9, Dream, he refers to the reality of his dreams with the lyric, it seems so real to me. Either way, Lennon and his songs are undoubtedly influenced by some pretty fantastic dreams. I mean, anybody that comes out with the kind of songs that John Lennon did, like Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just awesome. So that's my tip of the hat to lucid dreaming and dreams. And the famous people who have given us so much because they remember their dreams. So get out there and journal.
Right, or keep a recorder. Right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So what's next?
Well, you know, I did a little reading. You know, I'm new to the area, and I don't know Washington that well. I'm getting to know Grace Harbor pretty well. I've gone to the beach and let my dog run around. That was fun. And with this COVID, you know, really, I can't get out. So I get on the computer to learn about Washington. And, of course, the things that I'm interested in are creepy things. So I found the creepy stories and legends that Washington is the creepiest state in the Union.
How is it the creepiest state?
The West Coast is famous for Hollywood stars, you know, the Silicon Valley tech geniuses, Portland hipsters. Its ghosts don't get nearly enough attention. In fact, there are enough wacky, strange, and haunted happenings going on in Washington State alone to fill an entire bookshelf. We have bizarre creatures to curse-wielding serial killers, from ghosts to UFO hotspots. There is plenty to entice any seeker of the paranormal in creepy Washington. And I'm going to give you some of the highlights here. There's one called the 13 Steps to Hell.
Oh.
Yeah. In Maltby Cemetery, 20 miles east of Seattle, Washington, there's said to be a staircase to hell. According to the legend, there was once a set of 13 steps in the cemetery leading below ground to the opulent tomb of a local family of means. So this rich family had a really big tomb where everybody got stuck, but there were 13 stairs that led into it. Anyone who walked down the stairs and reached the 13th step would be met with a vision of hell so chilling it would drive them to insanity. Now, I don't know if they got a gypsy to curse the stairs or what, but if everybody who walks down these stairs gets this horrible, you know, vision of hell, it's probably because the family wanted to be safe in their crypt. That's my guess. And witnesses have reported only seeing the person get to the final step and fall to their knees in terror. I mean, can you imagine? Several children walked those steps and never spoke again.
Hmm.
It's a documented thing. At some point, the stairs were bulldozed over. So you're not going to be going there anymore. It's rumored that to this day, local kids trespass in the Maltby Cemetery at night, digging for the haunted steps. Crazy.
Totally.
Yeah. Not something I would do. All right, so there's this Mariner High School's mysterious mascot. According to the legend, there's a strange creature that haunts Mariner High School in Everett.
I went to Everett High School.
So you probably hung out with some Mariners on occasion at football games.
Cascade High and Mariner High were two of our rivals.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, they've got this mysterious mascot. They keep their lights on all night long, but they start to flicker around midnight. Then some of them inexplicably shut off. Allegedly, if you get close enough to the school, you can see a pair of floating, glowing eyes. Some say that if you stare at them long enough, you may be able to discern the outline of what looks like a man. Not just any man, though. A humanoid shape that has wings. Like Mothman or something.
Totally.
I know, that just gave you the creeps. Yeah, you know, something like that, hanging out at a high school with all that energy it could pull on. You know, high schoolers, they got nothing but energy.
Wish I had half the energy I had in high school.
Oh, I know. Yeah, dream on. So now there's something called the mysterious sinking of the Andalana. On January 14th, 1899, the largest maritime disaster in the history of Tacoma, Washington, occurred when the change to the ballast logs of the Andalana broke during a late-night squall. The ship capsized at the mouth of the Puyallup River. The captain of the ship and the 18-person crew all drowned that night. Strangely, the two divers sent to recover the ship after it sank also died, and no one knows why. This is the kind of thing that legends are made of. You know, ship and all their crew down there? Wow. Okay, so we talk about UFOs all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
We love to talk about UFOs. And there's a UFO hotspot at Mount Rainier. One of the most famous moments in UFO history occurred on June 24th, 1947, when pilot Kenneth Arnold famously saw 9 flying saucers over Mount Rainier. This was the first major sighting of the era, and it initiated a UFO craze. His sighting garnered, like, international attention, and subsequent sightings began to crop all over the country. Soon after, the government set up a formal project for UFO investigation, like Blue Book.
Mm-hmm.
Many have tried to debunk or otherwise explain what Arnold saw since, but diehard believers still take his testimony as proofs of extraterrestrial life. Pilots are, working for MUFON, pilots are your best kind of witnesses. And for this pilot to say, I saw this at this level, they were going this fast against wind, you know, it's just like a Navy pilot. And we've just had disclosure from them. So, that's a famous one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Bigfoot lurks in the Washington woods. If you're looking to find Bigfoot, Washington is the place to go. In fact, the state has a higher number of Sasquatch sightings than any other, racking up more than 500 in total. And I bet it's a lot more than that. According to a former Army Special Forces soldier and Washington State trooper who chose to remain anonymous, after feeding Sasquatch-like creatures in the forest, he discovered that they have a distinct language. He described them as being between 6 and 7 feet tall and weighing about 500 pounds. So that when you have somebody from Army Special Forces and you have a Washington State trooper, you realize that these are excellent witnesses. And why not Bigfoot being real? Of course it could be real. I find that people in Washington take it as a matter of course, that this is just part of their life here. when I lived in California and other places, Bigfoot was this big mystery, like, gee, does it exist, or what is it? But when you start living in Washington, you realize that this is a part of everybody's life here. It's amazing. Well, there's something called the Ghost of Dryden Hall.
Yeah?
It's on the campus of Eastern Washington State University. Apparently, it opened in 1965 as an all-female dorm. Today, it's a co-ed dorm famous for unsettling, screaming face that can be seen on the outer wall of its north wing. Think about it. A huge wall with a screaming face on the outer wall of its north wing that you could bypass and see every day. While this was initially considered a trick of the building's exterior lights, as it can only be seen at night, adjusting the position of the lights did nothing to stop the face from appearing. Groundskeepers have changed up the lights numerous times over the years, but the face doesn't go away. Do you know I lived in Galveston, Texas,
mm-hmm.
an island off the coast. And Galveston Island at UTMB, where I was working, the University of Texas, on the wall that faces the ocean is a man's screaming face.
Ooh.
Yeah. do you remember seeing shadows from Hiroshima, where the radiation was so intense with the people that were close to it that their bodies, like a camera, flashed onto walls? They have tours now that you can go with a little Geiger counter on you, and you can go through these radiated places, and there are people's faces and body shapes running or moving. They were so close to the blast that it showed their body on walls, and they're still there today. And also the not just Hiroshima, it was the nuclear power plant that melted there, or whatever it did, and they had the same result.
Yeah,
where when there was that radiation, I just think that's so creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is called a Princess at Pike Place Market.
Ah, used to stroll there every day before work.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's downtown.
Oh.
Downtown Seattle. Yeah, Pike Place Market.
Well, Princess Angeline was born around the year 1820 near Seattle, Washington. She was the daughter of Chief Seattle, born Kikasoblu. To this day, her ghost can be seen in Pike Place Market, where she sometimes appears to be sitting on a blanket with a handful of woven baskets for sale. Often tourists approach her to buy one, only to find that she disappeared when they get too close. That's what we call a residual haunting.
Residual haunting.
Yes, residual means that it's like a tape that plays back at certain times.
Oh, okay.
And it's always the same. Like, she did that a lot. That was her spot. So there is a residual recording that's showing her there from time to time.
Okay.
And then you have a more conscious haunting where they're able to speak with you. And you see that on ghost investigation shows
mm-hmm.
where they say, well, you know, when did you die? And somebody will say, I'm not dead. Because some ghosts don't know they're dead.
Right.
So, but they'll have a conversation and they're conscious about their replies. But this would be more of a residual. There's one called The Hex of Serial Killer Jake Bird.
Oh, this sounds fun and warm.
Yeah. Old City Hall in Tacoma held numerous criminals in its jail cell around the turn of the 20th century. One of the most famous of those was serial killer Jake Bird, who was captured after hacking two people to death with an axe. He received his own death sentence after confessing to killing 44 people during his trial. At the end of his trial, Byrd put an infamous curse on those who had captured, jailed, and sentenced him. And he said that all involved would die before he did. This became known as the Jake Byrd Hex. You want to be careful with those kind of things. Curses can be really bad. Have you ever heard of Gravity Hill?
No.
North of Prosser, Washington, there's a strange anomaly called Gravity Hill. If you pull up to the base of the hill and put your car in neutral, it will begin to roll up the hill. This hidden road in the middle of nowhere is down the street from an old, supposedly haunted grain elevator. And there is even a starting line at the bottom so you know where to put your car in neutral. According to the legend, if you dust powder on the back of your car before trying Gravity Hill, you will later be able to see the tiny handprints of the ghost children that pushed your car.
Wow.
Now that's new. I hadn't heard that from a Gravity Hill. But there are places in the United States, and I'm sure over the world, that you think you're facing up and you're going downhill. It's just amazing.
Right.
Well, I got another one for you then.
Okay.
It's called Mel's Magical Hole. Now, this is a legendary and mysterious pit allegedly existing in Ellensburg, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It all started when a man called Mel Waters called into the Art Bell radio program claiming that he found a bizarre sinkhole on his property with strange powers. He stated that it was greater than 80,000 feet deep, as he had tied fishing line together and lowered it down into the hole, letting it go for more than 15 miles before it touched the bottom. That's huge. That's gigantic. He also claimed that the hole had the ability to bring dead animals back to life after a man's dead dog was thrown into the pit and then was seen walking around shortly after. Waters was featured on the show numerous times on this radio program before 2002, when a local paper reported that no man named Mel Waters existed in the area at all, as this identity has never been confirmed, and he never told listeners the exact location of the pit. Many consider it to be a hoax. However, this has not stopped travelers from coming to the area in an attempt to seek out the famed sinkhole.
Hmm.
So we don't know. You know, did he fall into the sinkhole?
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you'd like to learn more about lucid dreams or any of the strange, creepy Washingtonian stories that Cherie just shared with us, or yell at us for being whack jobs or whatever, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.